Hello, you're listening to the Brainy Speech Therapist podcast. We're your hosts, Helen McLean and Jan McIntosh Brown. Here, we aim to look at all aspects of brain injury, from the research to the rehabilitation, and always through the lens of speech and language therapy.
Hi everyone, this is Jan McIntosh Brown. And thank you for joining this next episode of the Brainy Speech Therapist podcast. I'm delighted to say that we have a great episode tonight. It is on music therapy. And you'll hear Helen McLean and I, with our co-host Fiona, talk with a music therapy student, Johnny Barr, who was on placement in the service with me. And Johnny and Fiona have a great chat sharing the theory of music therapy as well as some personal experiences. I do have to apologise about some of the recording quality. Fiona, Helen and I were all in one room. However, there is quite an echo in the room. And Johnny joined us remotely. So unfortunately, at times, there is quite a lot of distortion. There was one segment that I had to delete completely due to the significant distortion. So I do hope it doesn't jump about too much in the recording. I do encourage you to have a listen because it is very inspiring to hear how music therapy supports our people and also to hear Fiona's talking about her experience as a musician and a person with a brain injury. Thank you very much all. Here's the episode.
I'm just going to talk, Johnny, okay? As I said, I've been on two podcasts before talking about my experience and about meditation. And I've kind of told my kind of life story and how I got my injury and things like that before. And the last one was in about meditation with your sister. And I'm on today to talk about music therapy. And I've just found out what you do. Like the ladies have just told me what you do. So and you're actually, I've been a student and is that right? You've been in a placement or something like that? If you could tell me, because I know my experience with music therapy directly, like I've been a learner, you know, I've been a kind of student of music therapy, but I wasn't sure what you were doing. So if you can tell me about it, I'd be really interested, please.
Yeah, well, I think music therapy is something that was formed by two gentlemen known as Paul Lordoff and Clive Robbins in the late 50s, and I believe it was a form of communication in form of music intervention, working with children initially, and it's something that's kind of progressed since then. It's becoming, I don't know if the word mainstream is right, but a more kind of recognised form of therapy in clinical work for individuals that are in several different situations, maybe children or adults, and in completely different context settings. For me specifically, while studying, I was working on placement as a music therapy student in a neuro rehabilitation centre, so working with those living with a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And through that journey, I discovered maybe particular approaches in music therapy that was more suited for that clientele, but you know, not really much experience in other areas, and it's something that I'm looking to pursue with once I am out in the field, so to speak. So it's really been a student, just near enough finished up. It's a very new adventure for me, but I think music therapy really can be a non-verbal way of communication in therapy. Mm-hmm. That might be seen as more comforting for others. You know, it's very dependent on the person, of course. I don't know if that helps.
No, it is actually. It really is, because I've been a kind of student of, if that would be the right, of Norbin Robbins. I actually had the privilege to be taught or be kind of relearn my instruments and relearn a lot of things, to be honest with you, a lot of kind of I used to be a piano player. I used to play piano, and I used to play various instruments, synthesizers, drum machines, all about electronics and things like that. I loved all that kind of stuff, and that's what I did before, was played live with my partner and a drummer. And I had like my kind of Juno and my drum machines and things like that. So I always did that before, but I lost everything again. Like, probably you've obviously met a lot of people then, or possibly who have had traumatic brain injuries. I had, just over seven years ago, I had a massive heart attack. And as a result of that, I had lack oxygen to the brain, hypoxic brain injury I've got. So I stopped. Forgot everything, you know, everything was gone. I was in a just coma, I think, for 2 weeks or so, and I was in the hospital for 8 days. and so I've kind of come through the other side. I just couldn't walk, talk, nothing, you know, the usual drill. I just say that, you know, I lost everything, and certainly one of the most important things was music. My partner, again, we play together. We've always played together for like about 20 odd years or something like that. He's guitar and I'm kind of synth and things like that. And we always wrote music together and stuff like that. And so music, absolutely, like you say, it's the kind of unspoken thing. Music was the only thing that made sense to me. And he would be playing music to my headphones and I would be able to recognise, you know, I'd know the songs, but I didn't know money, nothing, you know. So that was just a very brief kind of a introduction to it. So over the years, I tried to learn again, tried to do it. The piano just wasn't happening. You know, I've got this opposite guy in my head that's kind of it wants to do the opposite, so I have to kind of learn everything the opposite way around, you know, to stick it so it sticks, and do it 100,000 times to remember. But so I've basically been trying to do it. I've been singing. I couldn't sing again because I have time, you know. So I've had all these everything went, and without me just blathering on, I suppose that's just a kind of a wee bit of an introduction into what I'm doing and why I'm here talking about music therapy, because I've had I've been working with Paragon in Glasgow. They've helped me out with, I've had a mentor that's helped me with my kind of a synths and stuff like that, and the old stuff that I used to learn. And then the piano, I wasn't really getting it with the piano, it was so hard, I just couldn't, it just wasn't getting there. And my partner had referred me over to Norbin Robbins years before, and I finally got some sessions, and I had sessions for about 9 months or something, and I can play the piano again, I can't believe it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So it's a bit of a kind of good news story with me, and that's just scratching the surface really, so I'll stop talking, sorry.
So if you're not, I would love to ask Johnny, if that's all right, a wee question. It's Helen here. Could you, because I don't know really anything about music therapy, could you give me kind of, like, what would you do first off when you meet someone for the first time that you're thinking they would maybe benefit from music therapy from you? What would you do?
Yeah, well, I think introductions are always going to be quite interesting in a sense, but I think it's quite important to be present for the person and how they wish to engage. I can think of different examples of this because when working in the Neuro Rehabilitation Centre, there was a gentleman that I'd worked with, you know, without him naming any names, who our initial work was really just sitting in silence. There was not really much conversation at all. There was a huge barrier in terms of being willing to offer, feel trusted, or with me being present in the room. So a big part of the work really worked with silence. And there is actually a lot of academic writing about silence and music therapy and how silence is actually quite significant in music in general. But I think, you know, you would think that it would be coming from the music centre sort of approach or angle, which is kind of like, I think I had an early discussion with Jan about the Nord of Robbins method and what method I'm actually doing, which is the more of a psychodynamic music therapy approach. And I bring those two versions up because Nord of Robbins is, the difference is it is mainly music centred, so it's coming from the instruments, using the music as for the work, whereas psychodynamic music therapy approach, that's actually more to do with the relational aspect between the client and the therapist, and building that relationship through any form of engagement, whether that would be silence or whether that would be music or whether that would be conversation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, like, the short answer is that there's so many different ways to go about it, but I think in most cases it would probably start with a musical improvisation or a music, some sort of initiation with the musical instruments, if the person is feeling comfortable to do so. Is that answering much? Or, like, I can keep talking, but...
No, that's good. That's great.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating. I'm sorry, because that's actually quite interesting, because my recovery was completely organic, just with my partner. We were in a wee world of our own. No, there was no communication whatsoever. He didn't know. We couldn't, and things. It was just sound and, it wasn't anything like that. And I'm quite fascinated, because I always thought, because my particular circumstances with my piano was, I wanted to learn the piano again. I wanted to be able to go put chords down to songs while I sing. You know, that was the direct goal that I was after. But I didn't know that. I just kind of think that's really interesting that you were actually
psychodynamic.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I think
it's quite I don't know, sorry if I'm interrupting, but it's quite wonderful to hear that, and quite interesting in the sense that, of course, you and your partner have a relationship together and a connection and an understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of what's probably how you had such great engagement and interaction with one another. Mm-hmm. He would most likely understand you. Mm-hmm. You played music together.
Yep.
He probably knows the sort of musical interpretations that creates a response. And, yeah, and it's bringing back you as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's returning your personality and who you are. And I think music has that capability, as well as any other form of therapy, like whether it's verbal communication. It's part of the journey, I think, is just building a therapeutic relationship or building a relationship and understanding who you're working with.
I think it's Jan here from remembering your story, Fiona. You talked about very early in your recovery that Andy would be playing.
Yeah.
Music to you, put it next to you on your pillow. You had no awareness of anything else going around you, but Andy would put a song on.
I had my kind of iPod was glued to my pillow. I was listening to, and I think he played songs, like he played our songs, and I was like, I don't like that, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But he was playing all that, and the music was beautiful, you know, Arab Stratton Low, particularly the band Low, and things like that, who's so kind of like, they're just kind of on spiritual, the music's so calm, and he had it was absolutely my life. I don't think without it, I could only understand what was going on, you know, I could only understand the music. I didn't really know my surroundings and anything.
So it was breaking through the language.
Absolutely, yeah, it really was. It was the only thing that made sense, because I couldn't talk with nothing. I mean, I couldn't even, I was, you know, get gibberish, you know.
I'm wondering, because also you've got such a strong musical background, Fiona.
It's all self-taught, you know. None of it is kind of a musician. I was never an I, but yeah.
But I'm thinking, if we're to compare you to someone like myself, Johnny, now I would love to be musical, but I'm not at all. I'm tone deaf. So if you had me as a patient and you come in and you say, "So hi, I'm your music therapist," how do you introduce this concept to someone who's maybe their initial reaction is, "I'm not musical," or I couldn't do that, or, you know, something that's not maybe as positive, overwhelmingly as positive as Fiona is to it. How do you kind of deal with those situations?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, it's probably quite important to recognise that there's not necessarily a need to have a musical background to work in music therapy for the client, you know. Obviously, when there isn't a musical background, there can be like a challenge with beginning the work, with the, you know, like it being intimidating. You'll find like a lot of clients will be, "Oh, I don't play any instruments, so I can't do this. I can't." But I think you firstly need to be patient and work at the client's pace. And you may come to find that it's not suitable. Like, I did have, just on the flip side, I worked with someone, or had a referral with someone in the placement, who did have a musical background, but ultimately wasn't ready for therapy yet. It was still a case of wanting to be avoidant towards the idea. So even with his musical background, I couldn't make that connection. So I had to make the conscious decision of ending the work quite early. And that can be the same situation with someone that's not musical. Maybe it's just something that they're not engaging as much with. Maybe speech and language is another option, or occupation, whatever other therapy there is. It's maybe just not the right option. But with music, I think music is such a universal concept that, you know, I think almost everyone will listen to music at some point. And even the idea of hearing, I don't know, like a cup hitting the ground, like, you know, it's like that's a sound, that's a frequency that creates a response. And someone in the room that might be like moving in a certain manner towards music that I'm playing for them, maybe we'll call it an empathic improvisation, that might be a starting point. Of course, only just passed, not got much experience as of yet, but it's really about making that connection and finding that connection somewhere or another. It might not be the music, but that tends to be our first kind of go-to sort of tool, because that's what we're trained to do. So finding a connection from anything. I'm trying to think of examples, if you're maybe working with, I didn't work with anyone with these forms of brain injuries, but someone that might be in a position where they're unconscious or not able to communicate or not able to move very much, there might be just very subtle movements that you could recognise from the responses of music that you should work upon and connect with to try and build something, and it may encourage improvement for them. Yeah, I'm going to start blabbing on, sorry, but I've kind of lost track a little bit, but I think...
No, I was just, with you saying that, Johnny, I'm just thinking of the work that I've done with people in maybe a vegetative state or minimally conscious state, and we do test for kind of auditory responses and things, and, we ask family members for feedback around when they maybe see their loved one maybe giving a little bit more of a response. And I think music is often a common theme for when families will say, you know, we played their favourite song, or, an ad comes on with a tune that will
absolutely
all these sorts of things. And I wonder if you're
now you're starting to kind of instigate some feelings here, because what I would say is, without being like, but actually nobody could kind of quite understand what it feels like to know, obviously, what it, like myself, I know how I feel, and I know only myself and other people with brain injuries can feel that way. But music kind of, it doesn't need to be a kind of, it can just be, like you say, a sound, silence. It can just be the focus in the room, absolutely, I get that kind of thing. Sorry, it's a wee bit distracting me, there's a wee bit of noise in the room. I'm just talking about noise. Excuse me, there's a wee bit of noise in the other room. But excuse me, lost track. There we go, there's brain injury for you. There we go. Right, okay. So, but what I would say is that as far as playing a particular song or whatever, it's just the instant, what it's doing to my brain, regardless of whether it's like, it is later on, I think, things triggered memories and things like that, tons of that, rushes and rushes and rushes of that. But as far as just music in itself, the kind of notes that every, like A, B, D, G, whatever, each one of them has a vibration, and it actually heals your body in a way. And I believe that strongly. I've had a lot of sessions with, sometimes I get myself in such a pickle before my session with, for example, my piano, my music therapy. Actually what we do is just stop, and we would just play the back keys, we would just play the pentatonic key, and we would just play slowly, and they actually soothe your body, and just that kind of not actually playing. And I think that any sort of music that's is actually growing things in there, it's making things happen. That's all I would say, is because without that kind of a stimulation of music, of kind of vibrations, I don't think I would have developed so well. Do you know what I mean? I think absolutely music, I know it's such a big deal for me, that's all I care about. Just, I'm obsessed with music, obviously, my life and all that kind of stuff, but I think the actual process, just playing things to people, absolutely, regardless of whether it's a kind of favourite tune. That works, yeah, but it's just anything. Play it. To be fair, I feel like in rehab there wasn't music, and I wish there was. And I was definitely, I was offered to take, there was like a group, I think, people, other people who were like survivors or whatever, or service users and stuff like that. But the problem, that's what I was going to say, was you're so ashamed, you're so embarrassed about everything when you have an injury. You're so ashamed of yourself, you're so disappointed, and like if you you just feel like a failure, naturally feel like a failure. And when you're trying to like achieve something, for example, it's the pressure, like the thought of going, why don't we do this, why don't we do that, it's like, oh my god, the pressure of like what you were talking about, is it just like kind of limiting the expectation maybe of the person you're with, actually just not expecting anything from them, kind of thing, just letting them, letting them be in the moment. That's
well, I think this is Jan again. I think there's a lot of research going into dementia, people with dementia and Alzheimer's, around music therapy and how that re-triggers memories. And I know that, well, my limited understanding of the whole process is that music and it tends to be right hemisphere. And so we know I've used many a time jingles and familiar childhood songs to get into the language on the left hemisphere, you know, and so just trying to I really like what you said, Fiona, about just taking the pressure off.
That's it. And also Andy had, like, he obviously tried everything, it was brilliant, but he got me like a pair of gloves, Michael Jackson white gloves, you know. But I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it was like amazing. And we were in the cathedral because I was in the Royal Hospital. And so we were going out and we were going for walks and stuff like that. So we'd go walking about the cathedral, getting moving about and stuff like that. Like lost, you know, getting moved about, you know, getting held by the hand and kind of wandering about. But basically, he got this thing and it was gloves and it was a piano. And it was like some sort of sheet or something. And when you press the gloves, it's triggered the sounds. And I was standing outside the cathedral, you know, the cathedral in Glasgow, do you know what I mean, in Cathedral Street. And I'm going, oh my God, and I'm like playing these notes and stuff like that. And all these like tourists not around about, like obviously what I know now, obviously, they're all like, oh my, and I'm going, that's amazing and all that. And it was just because I was pressing the little things, it's like little white gloves that just trigger, I don't know if it was a keyboard or something like that. But oh my God, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, I'm shouting, oh my God, I can't believe it. And that was the first introduction to music, as was actually making any sort of sound or knowing what music is, the words music, you know, that was kind of the first.
Johnny, it's Helen again. I'm actually just with you saying there, Fiona, about, you know, that was your first introduction to that at that stage. How do you decide kind of what instrument to go for, or whether it's singing or whether it's just, you know, a random object, like you say, being dropped? How, what's the kind of process and decision making there?
It's like that. It's like, how long is a piece of string sometimes? It's not, it's such a hard question. I think what you need to bear in mind, I think with the method approach that I've been taught is like through, like based off psychodynamic principles, again going back to the client and therapist relationship, understanding what is happening in the room together and using those instincts to make a decision. What I'm kind of maybe getting at is that, like, I mean, I try trying to like, I think like a in music therapy, or maybe any therapy, like, you know, it can be very easy for the therapists themselves to make musical decisions based on their interpreters or what they want to hear musically, which I think is kind of bringing ego into the room a little bit. So being very conscious and aware of, I'm not sure if everyone's like familiar with the psychodynamic principles. I don't know what everyone's background is, and I don't know if it applies to every therapy because I'm just new to this. But it's transferences and counter-transferences, recognising a feeling within myself, like within the room, and maybe why that's happening. Maybe is that a projection from my client, and where does that take me in terms of what instrument and what I wish to play? So it can really just be dependent on what occurs. It's, and like that's where the skill, I think, will come as being a trained music therapist. Because, in order to be a music therapist, I think you do have to have a musical background. Of course, you have to have a musical inclination or be trained in that sense, mm-hmm. In order to be qualified enough to use it as a therapeutic tool, and then of course learning the psychology aspects as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like it really will be coming down back to the idea of like, communication and what's happening in the relationship together, and building upon that within the therapeutic space.
Thank you, right. So in the sense that like letting the person lead you.
I have to say, just listening to what you're all saying, there's definitely themes, I think, Jan, with lots of conversations we've had in previous episodes about that link between emotions and the frustration and that feeling really low after a brain injury, mm-hmm. and how that comes out in a lot of the work that we do as speech and language therapists.
Anger.
Yep. But with the music as well, so much of it is, it's another form of communication, exactly like you're saying, Johnny, but maybe sometimes people don't have the verbal or even the non-verbal body language necessarily to get that really across, but I guess through music.
Yes.
You can express yourself and you can find yourself. And it's
it also
that,
changes the tone of everything. I feel, you know, in a kind of room with like static noise and thing, you know, but if there's some sort of kind of music, you just focus on that, you know, that kind of just everybody just focus on that and it changes the kind of feeling, the just the
makes
kind
you
of.
Makes feel heard.
Aye, absolutely. Aye. It's kind of, I don't know, I just mean like, when there's music or tone or noise or whatever, anything at all, it just kind of changes the kind of, like the echo and the, you know, the kind of noise around about. It's a wee bit something to focus on.
And I'm just wondering as well, because also it sounds like you and Andy did lots of work together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But maybe when you went to Paragon, you maybe had opportunities to be with other people. But I'm wondering, Johnny, would you do kind of group, would there be group work that can happen so you're getting that peer-to-peer support as well, that people are maybe playing different instruments or playing the same instrument at different tones? My lack of musical knowledge, I think, is that even the right word? But do you kind of group work, and how does that kind of play out?
Absolutely, and again, I guess it really just depends on what your therapeutic aims are with the group, and what the purpose of the group is. And if one of those purposes is to create a safe space for engagement in groups, like social activity, the music can be that kind of like connecting factor, I think. So, as part of my placement, there was a music group that I was doing on a weekly basis, and the majority of the work really was improvisation for sure, but working around together, playing songs involving like rhythmic instruments with the group. I might maybe be singing the song, and then maybe move it, if the participants are comfortable with it, we might end up engaging in conversation, like, you know, what, reminiscing, like what was the meaning of the song? Why does the song mean so much to you? Has anyone else got any other sort of good memories of the music that's been heard? You know, so it's like it's trying to kind of, again, because I've said it a million times, like kind of making that connection as a group, and what is happening in the space together. So group work absolutely possible, just dependent on what the aims are, I think.
It's a really person-centred approach, isn't it? As a therapy, it has to be. It couldn't work, I guess, if it was one size fits all. It wouldn't happen.
It sounds like some of our speech and language therapy goals are like, you know, getting on together, joining in with each other and building relationships with each other. And I think we've talked about, Helen, before, is that peer support and peer feedback is often more powerful than a therapist to person feedback and support. So this might be a really horrible question, Johnny, but it's just popped into my mind and feel free to say I'm not answering that, but what would be some of your goals in music therapy? Like, what is it you're aiming to achieve, either very broadly or maybe specifically?
Okay, I'm going to try and tackle this. Let's go for it.
It's a big one.
So I think for me, and maybe this is just a, then this could be like a comforting thing for me as a training therapist still learning, is a lot of the work that I was doing, and I think a lot of the time it's kind of expected in a multidisciplinary setting, was working around wellbeing. Mm-hmm. And improving general mood, and I think you were talking about general themes of loss, anger, frustration. Mm-hmm. So giving a safe space for the client to express those frustrations. Mm-hmm. So that I think that I felt that was quite a common occurrence within the neurorehabilitation centre. Mm-hmm. But not that I've had much experience on it, but there certainly can be. I guess it's like coming back to the idea of working with the team. There could be situations where maybe you're working with someone and helping them trying to rehabilitate their ability of physical movement as well. Mm-hmm. Like there's not much research that I've read, but like there are connections with rhythmic musical exercises. Mm-hmm. Where you're in, which could help with both cognitive functions such as memory, like remembering the rhythm that's been played, or encouraging the movement to encourage that is a gait velocity, I think maybe is the right term, that walking movement. Encouraging movement, so that could be another aim. But for me, it was really just kind of working with the well-being, and a lot of the clients that I worked with as part of my placement, there was a significant experience of loss. Mm-hmm. Both with their maybe independence through living in the Nunavut Rehabilitation Centre, but then also the loss of family members, down to person, but working with the needs of the client. I also did read the clinical notes for each person when I was there, and tried to link things in with the other work that was happening. I don't know if I went off on a tangent.
That sounded great, Johnny. I'm very impressed with being having such a complex question sprung on you by our esteemed colleague. So maybe the question I'm going to ask you is just as mean though, but you mentioned about mobility, and actually it's making me wonder, not necessarily in neuro rehab, but maybe across any of your placements, working perhaps with people with apraxia or any other kind of movement disorders, I guess there must be a whole other kind of level of complexity around figuring out how do we make this happen for this person.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I just can't speak on behalf of such work because I've not delved into the research, but there will be work there. Yeah. And individuals, and I wish I could recite some of those people, but I do know in terms of neurorehabilitation work, Simon Aldridge and Felicity Baker are two people that have worked extensively with neurorehabilitation. I think just that the connection really is just with the idea that it's quite a physical experience, music, whether you're vocalising sounds or whether you're playing an instrument. Mm-hmm. So mobility, there is mobility involved. So mm-hmm. if you are able to facilitate that in a manner for each person, there can be ways of making a clinical progression, I think, with the work. And then potentially, I've not trained in the Nord of Robins method, but since they are music centred, there probably are far more significant exercises that may accommodate that.
I think we just follow the needs of the person. The only experience I've got, various experience, just the one Norman Robbins is my own experience, obviously, and also another music therapist as well was she also dealt with a lot of people with strokes and things like that, and she was getting him to make noises, and just he was getting his voice, the point where his speech was just coming and things like that. It was actually on the new, I think it was on the S4C or something, but it was and she was talking about how he got his voice back, and she was just playing dum 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 dum, and he was just going blah blah, he's just getting the words out and starting to sing. And I know that Paragon, the kind of chat that of support
supported me over the years. They do a lot. There's a lot of people with a lot of mobility needs, and they have beats, and they have all the kind of and it's all the acoustics, not acoustics, what's the word, the percussion and things like that. And again, it's all like what they can do, and they make groups of people. They all put their wee beats together, and they make amazing sounds, and they do it because a lot of people are stuck in the house as well. We'll do it through Zoom. They've got all the kind of, you know, everybody's done it on Zoom, and they're all like playing their beats together and managed to sound good and
stuff.
The
neighbours love them.
I love them, absolutely. But that kind of, I think you're talking about the mobility issue, like, and a lot of it's bump banging about, you know, and that kind of hit a lot of that kind of stuff as well.
I was just going to say, Johnny, when Fiona and Helen were talking about, you know, and yourself about music and, you know, particularly a practice of speech, there's an approach that we often use called melodic intonation, and that sort of is using rhythm and sort of very repetitive phrases and things to sort of build speech. So that's one approach that jumped into my mind as you guys were talking.
And I think, I guess it, in some cases, you know, there's really good opportunities for kind of collaborative working, whether that's with speech and language therapists for maybe the singing aspects, or with physiotherapists or OT to maybe kind of target upper limb function and that sort of thing, you know, if a person's maybe going to be holding an instrument or something like that. So you can really see how music therapy starts to really add to that multidisciplinary working.
I've kind of gone from, if you think from the very, I'm 7 years or whatever so now, but originally, so I couldn't obviously sing, couldn't sing in time, couldn't, had the rhythm, didn't have anything, I was out of tune, all of that kind of stuff. It wasn't that great before. I'd say maybe a wee bit better, but now, but anyway, but the I went through the process not being able to sing. Then I had my best friend play piano with her songs, because we'd written songs just before I took ill, and so we had these songs wanted to play, so she actually would play the piano, and I was learning how to sing again, and they're keeping me right and trying to get me into tune stuff. That was the first process, and I'm trying to learn how to sing again, and then I went through Paragon, and then I'm learning to do all the bits and balls. So it's been like all these different levels, and now, only now, 7 years in, I think it's taken 6.5 years to be able to actually put my fingers and make a noise that made that was any good, you know. And also, I've lots of stuff enabled, and then lots of tracks and stuff running now and stuff, so other stuff as well. But it's been like different stages, you know, that focus is just that one thing at a time, and I've managed to achieve, luckily, kind of thing. But I think music therapy's changed my life, I don't know.
And can I say, Fiona, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you're a person with a brain injury or know someone, I think to hear you say that it's taken 7 years, but you're still making those little gains, and you're still, I can hear how determined you are, you know, just like, I think that gives people a lot of encouragement to kind of keep going.
I was told 2.5 years, you know, and that would be me. It's usually undressed, obviously, and then now I'm driving. All these things that are just like, they was unheard of, you know, unheard of. So it is incredible when it comes to dealing with people with brain injury. You know, it is like, never, it's just always medical. It's not medicals, but like, it's hard work. It's been hard work. The music has been hard because it's been, it just didn't make any sense, you know, so it was trying to like remember everything, and I'm obsessive about writing things down. Everything I've done, I've recorded through my voice memo, so I've wrote a book, my book as well, I've written that as well, and that's all through voice memo, and then eventually got to the point where it's all kind of been typed down, and it's now in a book. But as far as the collecting the songs and stuff, everything was my voice memo, and it was just printed out, do you know what I mean? So everything I've done has been through my voice, because I was desperate to capture it. I didn't want to lose these ideas and these things. I was like, this is dead interesting, you know. So now over that, that's taken like 7 years to now, I've got some sort of result, got some things together, actually maybe release them, and I never imagined that, you know, before, but it's kind of, you know, lucky.
So Johnny, thank you so much for joining this chat tonight. Is there anything else you would like to tell us or say about music therapy?
I'd maybe say that if someone was looking to looking into music therapy with you know, being part of it or finding work with it. Like the one place that would be a good place to start looking is the BEMT or BAMT page, which is the British Association of Music Therapy, or looking up the Nord of Robins website as well. There's a lot more information that really kind of explains what music therapy is and where you can find options to do so. There are some areas in Scotland and the United Kingdom where like the music therapy is part of the NHS and it can be clinically referred. And I think like a lot of different like context settings, you tend to find that there is a music therapist on site. Like it's, I think it's something that I think has become more accessible in the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years and is continuing to grow. So, yeah.
Can I ask some advice if you don't mind? Just because my partner, like you say, he's got me to the point where, you know, got to the point where, and he has been interested in trying to help a few people out. He's a musician, he's never done anything like help people to play piano and guitar and things like that. And like, just without it being an actual music therapist, do you know what I mean? Like any sort of suggestions of somebody who just on their own like that, like somebody like him who's now starting to get a bit of his life back, now that I can kind of look after myself a lot better and things like that, you know, when he's starting, and he kind of he's thinking about maybe doing something, helping other people, do you know what I mean? Just that sharing that kind of love a wee bit and what, do you know, people have done for me, he's want to do a wee thing for that. I mean, that might be a bit putting you on the spot actually, John, it's a bit random, isn't it? But just that, it made me think, because obviously he's not going to go and do, you know, you've done all the study, you've done all that kind of, all your, you know, you've been at uni and everything like that, and it's just that you've been more kind of...
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, music is therapy in my mind. It always has been for myself and anyone that I know that divulges into music. We can listen to music and that can be a healing process. So playing music with others, that's always been therapeutic in my mind from a young age. It's just enjoyable, releases stress. So, like, doing that as a person is you know, absolutely, like, you know, commendable. The only thing I would say is, like, if moving into like doing clinical work, so to speak, or working with someone, it's a very big responsibility, and I think it's, we have to be very mindful and careful of how far we progress into that with someone if not trained. So it's you know, it's recognizing you're taking on a huge responsibility for an individual, and decisions that you may make may be the course of action or outcome for someone. You know, it's just be mindful of that, I think. But even like a community related sort of kind of project,
that's what it is, it's more the community thing.
Like that, there's a lot of direct connections or correlations between sorry if I think I've talked there, sorry, but there's a lot of correlations between like you know, music therapy and even music performance and even in community music work. That there is absolutely space for that. It's just maybe being aware of what you're facilitating and what those boundaries can be, because be mindful of how far like you go into the psychology aspects, I think.
I think just in closing and an answer to that, maybe Fiona, I mean, many therapies have assistants, so therapy assistants, so that if Andy is looking for something that doesn't require a degree, then he could look for even teaching assistants or therapy assistants or something
just a thought.
Like that.
It was just a thought. It was like, you know, because it wasn't obviously, but it was just interesting because it's kind of sparked something, you know, just want to spread it a bit, you know.
And pops up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Well, Johnny, thank you so much for your time. I'm re-inspired. We do have music therapy students, hopefully every year. It was a pleasure having you on placement with us.
Nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's nice talking to you.
And thank you for persevering with the odd sound quality. I hope your musician ears aren't bleeding too much from the poor room acoustics.
No, it's great. Thank you, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. It's a little tight to get there in between work. As soon as I've finished my university, it's straight back into full-time work. But it's really nice, so thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And Helen and I would also like to thank our co-host, Fiona, tonight. For bringing a little bit of person,
mon plaisir.
Yeah, person with experience.
Yeah.
into the discussion. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny. All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
The opinions and views expressed in this podcast are of the individual and should not be considered professional advice. If you have a brain injury, suspect you have a brain injury, or think someone you know has a brain injury, please seek dedicated professional advice.